Criminal justice experts pushing for reform are praising President Obama's decision last night to commute the sentences of 8 federal inmates, most of them serving life for minor crack cocaine offenses. The president said they were sentenced under old laws that treated crack cocaine far more harshly than powder, and that if convicted under a new 2010 law, they'd already have done their time. Vinita Gupta is deputy legal director of the ACLU, and Vinita, the ACLU has been working to get some of these people released, so we're assuming you're happy with this decision.
Yes, we're absolutely thrilled that the president had the political courage finally to issue some of these commutations. It's terrific news.
Well, your group wrote a report profiling 4 of the 8 people whose sentences were commuted. Some of the stories are incredible. A young man named Clarence Aaron of Mobile, Alabama.
Clarence had introduced a high school friend and a college friend so that they could sell drugs, and he played a very minor role in that, and then he got implicated in a very serious way and ended up receiving a life without parole sentence for his actions.
Well, actually, 3 life sentences, has served 20 years. Stephanie George is another. She also didn't deal drugs, we understand.
Stephanie found herself in a very abusive, coercive situation and had become essentially a mule for her abusive boyfriend who was having her transport drugs between Texas and Oklahoma. She had tried to leave that relationship several times and ultimately ended up getting sentenced to an incredibly long amount of time. And oftentimes what happens in these situations is that these women who are serving as mules, and not just, you know, this happens with men as well, when they are kind of the lowest folks on the totem pole of the drug trade, have nothing to trade into law enforcement to get a sentence reduction. And so they are often getting longer sentences than those higher up in the food chain of a particular drug market who have a lot of information. And so Stephanie George's story really kind of, I think, has become emblematic of a particular set of circumstances of women in abusive relationships in the drug trade.
Well, so Stephanie George got a life sentence in 1997. She was 27 at the time. And we understand in both her case and Clarence Aaron's case, the sentencing judge was angry about the fact that he had to impose those sentences under that law. This is all about the disparity between the sentencing for crack cocaine, which is used mostly by lower-income Americans, and powder cocaine, which is used by those of means, and the difference in the sentencing. This, of course, was changed by the 2010 law.
Yeah, the Fair Sentencing Act, which took 18 years to pass, and is the first time that that Congress has ever reduced a federal mandatory minimum penalty, did finally seek to address the gross racial disparity between crack and powder cocaine sentencing. Advocates have been urging and pointing to the science to urge a 1-to-1 ratio in that sentencing. Politically, it just became too hard, and we ended up with an 18-to-1 disparity, but that was much, much better than the 100-to-1, although it has not kind of really addressed or solved the gross racial disparity that still exists in an 18-to-1. The 100-to-1 represents the amount of time, so it's the ratio of the time that people were serving if they were either convicted of powder cocaine versus crack cocaine. So the enormity of the elevation of the length of a sentence for crack cocaine was just so severe. And we need to understand that 100-to-1 law was enacted really as a reaction to several high-profile, the death of Len Bias in the 80s, and not driven by any kind of scientific reasoning around the physiological differences of the drug or anything else. And so what the Fair Sentencing Act represented was a time to kind of, you know, when the volume was turned down and crime rates have been on the decline, to really bring evidence to bear on sentencing regimes, particularly as impacted black and brown communities.
You mentioned Len Bias. He, of course, the Celtic star who died after using crack cocaine. But even before the laws recently changed, the legal world was trying to circumvent them. The Justice Department told prosecutors to stop listing illicit drugs on indictments so that these old laws wouldn't be triggered. It feels as if there's been a groundswell of effort to get these laws changed.
There is a changing tide in this country around our criminal justice system. I think there is a much greater, and I would say bipartisan, recognition that what we have been doing for 40 years has been ineffective, has had a tremendous human and financial cost, and frankly has not ended or limited our drug supply any much more. And so there has been a lot of significant changes. I would say that when the Attorney General made several pronouncements urging prosecutors to charge in ways that would kind of circumvent mandatory minimum sentences over the summer, that was kind of a tipping point. But he was in some ways late to the party, because in states around the country, conservatives and Democrats alike have been trying to engage in data-driven, evidence-based reforms to finally, in recognition of that the criminal justice system has just become far too large, is not addressing and really has kind of diverted its aims from being really about protecting the public. That is what is exciting. The tide is definitely turning, but it is also, we have to recognize, we haven't changed any other federal laws yet. I mean, there's the Smarter Sentencing Act right now that Congress is considering, proposed in a bipartisan way by Senator Durbin and Representative Lee, and we have to, but it's very politically uphill still.
Yeah, you mentioned the bill co-sponsored by Senator Dick Durbin of Illinois, a Democrat, and Mike Lee, a Republican of Utah. This would make the Fair Sentencing Act retroactive for some offenders, so that inmates could apply to judges for review of their sentence if it came before the 2010 Fair Sentencing Act. There are still so many more in prison, as you said, who were sentenced under these long, draconian sentences prior to the Fair Sentencing Act. The president has used little of this executive power to clear them. Do you think he will be doing more?
We will be urging him to do more in the last years of his administration. But we also need the president and the attorney general to continue to use their bully pulpit to support the laws that need to get enacted to really result in systemic reform of our criminal justice system, to really help advance important legislation and to follow kind of the lead of many states around the country, many red states around the country that have enacted smart reforms, repealed mandatory minimum laws, and kept their crime rates on the decline.
That's Vanita Gupta, Deputy Legal Director of the ACLU. Vanita, thank you.
Thank you so much.
And in his statement last night, the president said that the commutations are an important step toward restoring justice, but it must not be the last. So obviously, there will be other steps in this story. We'll follow it for you. You're listening to Here and Now.
Funding for Here and Now comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink technical computing software, accelerating the pace of discovery in engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.